Welcome everyone to Know Their Brand podcast, a podcast designed to champion and support gender inclusion in business. Welcome everyone. I'm Giulia, your host, a social entrepreneur dedicated to helping women in business. Join me and my fantastic guest to find out more about gender inclusion and to be inspired by their incredible stories.
Welcome everyone to a new episode of our podcast. Today with me, I have Kasia Krzysztanowski. Kasia is from Canada and came to Luxembourg a few years ago, and she runs an amazing magazine called Neighbor. I invited her today with us because she's a very truly inspiring entrepreneur, and I would like for Kasia to share her story with us. Welcome on our podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much for coming. So can you give us a little bit about a bit of background about where you come from, when you arrive in Luxembourg, what do you do?
Okay, so I'm from Toronto, Canada, and I came to Luxembourg already 12 years ago. So I've been here quite a while. I worked in communication and marketing for many years for different tech companies. And then I, around COVID, actually, during the lockdown, I started really becoming even more interested in environmental topics and in permaculture. And that's when I decided, okay, I'm going to launch this magazine idea I've had for a few years. So I already was thinking about it in 2018 to create a magazine to help people discover basically the inspirational businesses and initiatives that exist around Luxembourg, because for an expat, they can be really quite hidden. So I couldn't start right away. I had a baby and a son, was a bit older. And then finally, after the lockdown, at the end of 2020, I decided, okay, I'm going to stop my job. I'm going to take some time and I'm going to really launch this magazine.
Well, that was very brave. And actually, it's interesting because I think a lot of people, and me included, during the lockdown, we had the opportunity to really look or to reconsider what really matters in our life. So that's after lockdown is when I launched my social enterprise. You, is after lockdown, launched a magazine on sustainability. And I feel that a lot of people took that time to really reconsider priorities in life. But you actually went ahead and created something out of that, which is brilliant. And I know the magazine and it is fantastic. But can you tell us a bit more exactly what you do with the magazine? How does it work?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Neighbor Magazine, it's in English right now, and it's published four times a year. So it was launched in November 2021, the first issue. The second issue came out in March of this year, and then the third will come out in September. So it's a print magazine, but for subscribers, there's also a digital version. And we also have news on our website. In the magazine, the idea is to have a very beautiful, minimalist look and feel. There's no ads so average magazines, and there's long form articles and beautiful photography. So you can really discover each initiative. And there's a really big focus on telling the story of the person behind the project. So what's their motivation and how did they get there? The key focus here is to inspire people to live locally and sustainably in Luxembourg and the greater region.
Wow. Okay. So a couple of things there. So you said that there is not advertising. So the magazine is fully funded by the sales, I suppose, in that case. Or
so there are corporate sponsored articles.
Okay.
But there are no visual ads in the magazine. The idea is to also give people a break from, you know, all the chaos of the internet and all the pop-ups we see, so they can really take the magazine and they can get away from their devices and just relax and enjoy it.
I personally, having seen the magazine and knowing it, is incredible. The level of the photography is just appeals you naturally. And I don't want just to be complimenting because you're here. It's true. Like the first time I saw it, I was naturally attracted to take the time, as you say, to read it and see and look at the pictures. So how do you select the project that you want to cover? Do people come to you, or you discover them, you know them, a mix of the two?
So both are possible. I think for the first issue, it doesn't have a particular theme, or at least it didn't from the beginning. I just wanted to show a mix of different projects. And so I looked at many that I already had heard of before, but some of them were also suggested by the writers. So there's a really amazing article about a community-supported agriculture project. So it's a farm where you have to be a member, and then you get a weekly basket of vegetables. And it's called Fumgreis. And actually the writer, Anne, she is a member of it. So she suggested it, and she interviewed the farmer who runs it, and she loves the project, and you can really feel it through the article.
Okay, fantastic. And so when you say sustainability, you talk about environment mostly. Is that the focus of your
Yes, the main focus is solutions basically to the climate crisis, so, and on regenerative solutions. So it means not just reducing emissions, but really things that regenerate the soil and also are positive for us as humans, regenerate our spirit and our connection to others, our connection to nature. But there are also also different social topics are interesting, also artistic cultural topics. So in the future, we also want to have more articles on even artistic things that are happening in Luxembourg.
Okay, so also the spirit, not just the health. Okay, great. And so how was the first edition received? I saw a lot publicity about it, but I also mingle in this, in that sphere of sustainability. So it's probably it's quite normal for me, but what was the reception?
It was really amazing. This kind of magazine doesn't exist in Luxembourg. I guess there are some around the world you can find magazines with maybe a similar focus on the topics or even a kind of minimalist look. But in Luxembourg, there wasn't anything. And many people, they talk about how beautiful it is and the design, which is a credit to the designers, of course, and the photographers, but also the content. There's one person who said what she really liked about it is that it shows you the positive solutions that do exist. So because we hear so much about the climate crisis and we all feel this anxiety and it's easy to switch off and say, I just can't deal with this. I can't think about it. But here the idea is to show, well, this is what exists. This is what people are doing. This is how you personally can be involved, shop locally at this farm or do this in your own backyard. And
Fantastic. And so how did you find people to collaborate with you? How you went about that?
Mm-hmm. So in different ways. For one of the very first things I did was focus on the branding, because this was something very important to me, the look and feel. I really wanted it to be beautiful and to really reflect the vision that I had. And so I contacted Linda and David, who they actually used to live in Luxembourg, and now they live in Greece, but they still work with Luxembourgish clients. So their design agency, it was called Kinlake, now it's called Art of Euphoria. And so I already had seen them years before. I love their work. And so I asked them to do the branding and the first video as well about the magazine. And then later, some of the writers are people that I had met before. The photographers, one of the main photographers is Ludivine. She's a good friend of mine and she's an amazing photographer. But in general, it's been, I've met people through others, as it always goes in Luxembourg. And for some of the writers, I had to Google, English writers in Luxembourg, because there are actually very few. And I managed to come in contact with some very interesting ones.
Fantastic. And so what's the vision for you for the magazine? What do you want to achieve with this magazine in long term?
In long term? So the first goal, maybe medium term, is to have the project be continue sustainably, financially sustainably, in the original idea of, you know, publishing it four times a year. But also now with my business partner, Lisa, we are aiming to create a larger media. So to have daily news and be able to daily online news, to be able to really cover many, many stories in Luxembourg. Because of course, in the magazine, you know, we might have 10 articles. So, and it's four times a year, we can't talk about everything, but there's so much happening every day. So many new initiatives or events or all kinds of things. So we want to be able to publish much more and on a regular basis. We also, right now it's in English, and we want to continue reaching more English speakers. But we're also thinking about having a French version maybe next year, because the idea is to reach not only people in Luxembourg, but also the greater region. So to reach people in Belgium and France, French will be very useful.
Absolutely. And so all of this sounds amazing. Like, and if you know, people listen now, like, oh, okay, so she had an idea. She went out, found people to work with her, but produced it. Everybody loved it. Easy peasy. Is that really that easy to become an entrepreneur?
So, no, of course. I had an idea, and I'm a person who, you know, when I have an idea, I do, you know, a little bit of background research, and then I just go for it if it seems possible. And that's probably a good thing, because if I saw everything that really needs to be done behind it, maybe I wouldn't have done it. Who knows? creating the company itself, you know, that you already have so many administrative things to deal with. A company is much more complicated than just being self-employed, because I was independent already for many years before. So that's already a bit complicated, but it's okay. But having a company, then there's so many more obligations. And it's a huge learning curve. There's not really a way to just know all of this. It's this experience of, okay, you get a letter from some administration saying, please do this. And that's when you learn that you need to do it. So it's tough. It's here. It's not only about publishing a magazine. That's what I wanted to do, publish a magazine and tell stories. But there's always this big learning curve of administration behind it. But then also with the magazine, there's so much more. And it's much more, of course, than for one person. Launching it was one thing, but continuing it, having, you know, all the work to promote it, to create awareness, to talk to resellers, because it's sold in different shops, and manage subscriptions. It's really, really a lot of work. And this is why this spring I asked Lisa, who had been doing the social media for the magazine, I asked her if she wants to join me and really help move it forward. And so she agreed. So now there's two of us, and I'm not really happy about that.
Yeah, thank you for your honesty. Having had a similar journey as yours, so I was independent for many years. And when you set up a company, like you said, if I had known where I put myself, maybe I would have thought about it twice. And I'm glad, like you, that I didn't. But it's important we talk about this, because not to discourage people, simply because it's better if you're a bit more prepared, maybe. And, you know, if you do a bit more research, like you, sometimes I receive stuff and I'm like, what? Was I supposed to do that? I didn't know that. And having a partner is a great thing. I personally know Lisa, and I know she's going to be a fantastic partner, but not everybody has the chance to have a partner. And so it's very important to be prepared. I always says that basically having opened a company is pretty much doing an MBA, an intensive MBA, because the things that you learn in terms of not just administrative, but also all of the financial side of it. And, you know, it's something. It's a bit like motherhood, you know. Everybody tells you how amazing it is to have children, and I forget to tell you that there is also a lot of work that goes behind that. I remember a friend of mine told me when she had a child, she's like, why you didn't tell me? I was like, what? I was like, you have children. Why you didn't tell me it was so hard? I'm like, because you love it, and you know, it's got in the end is the best thing, at least for me was the best thing. But yeah, there is a little work that that goes behind the scene, and that doesn't spoil the amazing experience of being an entrepreneur, but we need to be prepared. Mm-hmm. And so now that you've taken Lisa, how do you see the relationship between you two go? Because obviously this was your baby, but you're sharing with someone else. You ask her, actually. So it means that you are prepared to develop and grow your team. Is that your focus in the medium term, to have more people working with you?
Exactly. So the idea is that there's the two of us who will take things forward, but we do want to hire people as well. And of course, financing is important. So we're looking for financing together, but we are looking to have interns and also have regular journalists working for us. This is not going to happen tomorrow, but we're hoping really in the coming months that something like this will be possible. But with Lisa, so like you said, it's my baby, and this is why I started alone, because I really had a particular vision and I really wanted to make it happen, but I didn't know anybody who had exactly the same kind of vision. But actually through the magazine, because it attracts people, of course, who have the same ideas and who, you know, who appreciate, for example, local initiatives. And through the magazine, I've actually met many different people, you know, writers or photographers who really feel connected to it and really want to be part of it. And they become an amazing part of it. And Lisa, actually, I have been working with her since April 2021, so more than a year. I came across her on Instagram, I think, because what she does is she does social media management. And I saw that she was very much into sustainability and had a very beautiful style. So I thought, okay, she should be the right person to manage the social media. Because if I had to do that as well, there would be no social media, that's for sure. So from April, she was already managing it. And we collaborated really on a daily basis, because we would co-write posts, or she would write something and I would suggest something. So we really were used to talking about these topics every day. And over time, I thought, well, actually, she really has a lot of great ideas that go beyond just social posts, you know, about how to develop the business, different things that can be done. And so I knew that she would be a really great person to do this with in partnership. And and going forward, it is a change. As soon as we agreed to be partners, she also kind of started to do social media, take the initiative instead of me saying, okay, let's write about this. Or she would say, okay, let's write about this. So it's already, I have to just change my perspective. And okay, I'm not in control of everything, but that's fine, because I trust this person, and we can go forward together.
Thank you so much for sharing this, because I can totally relate with that. And actually, you mentioned, okay, you started alone because you had this vision, but it's very important, especially at the beginning, that you find someone that shares the same vision, because otherwise, as you say, you need to let go, but that can be dangerous in a sense if someone takes it to a different direction to what you had in mind. So it's a brave decision to do that, and to, you know, delegate and really let go. But I think that what makes your position strong, apart from that, I know Lisa, as I said before, and she does the social media, but she does it only for projects that are related to sustainability. So mm-hmm. clearly she's definitely someone that shares your same passion and your same values. But for people that might be working in different sectors, and even if it's not sustainability, I always say it's very important you understand what is your purpose, whatever that is. I mean, and that you're very clear on that, and what are your values, and ensure that everybody you take on board with you, they share the same values, or at least they can bring them to life in their life. They might not be there personal values necessarily, but they need to be able to bring them to life, because otherwise you're going to have a mismatch. And that's when companies start to break down, especially at the beginning. But to be honest, also in large organizations, we need to understand how you can bring the values of the organization to life. But yeah, it might be a bit intimidating to take someone and having to let go. So,
But I would say that finding somebody who is different to you is also very important. And, you know, I think that that only can be valuable, to have a second person or even a third person who has a different background and different ideas and different strengths. And that can only be positive. So in this case, I can see Lisa, and, you know, she's really great at things that I'm not so great at. And I can really be amazed by that and say, okay, great. You know, she's an amazing speaker and very social, and I'm a bit more reserved. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Diversity is absolutely key. That's what we talk about. That's why we need the women in male-dominated boards and organizations. And that's why we need people different from us to run our business, because otherwise it's just the same thinking all the time. And as you say, as much as you might have the same values, you do need to be different and bring different things to the table. And that's the power of diversity and what makes a company effectively successful. Otherwise, you're going to end up doing the same thing on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. I just would like to ask you a couple of final questions. Mm-hmm. One is, what is for you the highlight of being an entrepreneur? What's the part of the being an entrepreneur you like the most?
The highlight. So there's maybe two things. One is freedom, in the sense that you can decide where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing at what time. You don't have freedom to not work, that's for sure. But I really appreciate that. Okay, if today I want to work from home, I'm going to work from home. If I want to go and, you know, meet somebody in the middle of the day, I can do that anywhere in the country. That's something that's really important to me. And it always was, actually. But the biggest highlight is to be able to work on something meaningful every single day, something that's meaningful to you. And even if it's, you know, small sort of boring tasks, like, okay, I need to do some accounting, but it's still for the purpose of this magazine and sharing these sustainable initiatives and inspiring people. That's the purpose, and everything is tied to it that I do every day.
I love it, and I totally agree with you. Like, the freedom, as you say, not the freedom to not to work. Like, when I started, I thought, I can do whatever I want. I don't want to work, I don't work. No, you actually end up working a lot. But is how you work. Yeah, exactly, more. But it's where and how you work. I remember one day I was traveling back from Italy in the car. We had like a 12 hours journey, and I worked for the 12 hours. I put my computer hooked onto my phone, and I worked for 12 hours. It was fantastic. I didn't have to take the day off just because I was traveling for 12 mm-hmm. hours. Mm-hmm. And that is an incredible, I think, freedom that you choose how you want to spend the day, and having something that you're passionate about. Sometimes people think, okay, you are passionate about what you do because it has a social impact, like yours has an environmental impact. But I think at the moment you start your business, it is really you're passionate about. If you start your business, it's because you're passionate about whatever it is that you're doing. And once you find that passion, it's really difficult to then to let go. And and it's good because it really motivates you. It's mm-hmm. your purpose. And for the very last question, I would like to ask you, what would be a word of advice for someone that's listening to this podcast and says, well, actually, I had this idea, I would like to start. What would you say mm-hmm. to them?
So I would recommend not simply starting, not just saying, okay, I have an idea, I'm going to start it tomorrow, because that just often doesn't work. If you simply start by, you know, creating a website and saying that you exist, you need to do more before you get to that point. And in Luxembourg, there are some really good programs right now. So actually in 2019, I did the NewCo Impulse program, which is it's really only getting better and better. And it's a free program offered through the government for social impact startups. Basically, if you have an idea, you can go through this program and you get group coaching with many other people who are doing the same thing. You can learn about, you know, financial aspects, tax and legal things, and also, you know, how to create a business plan, how to test your idea. Do you have potential clients? And they take you through all of this, and it's extremely valuable. It was really good to do it when I had the idea, and it helped me make the idea more concrete as well. And now I know that there's also a collaboration with MESIS, which is also from the government. It's the administration that deals with sustainable business, and you can actually become an SIS, which is Société d'Impact Social. So they help you see how you can get this special agrément, it's called, for your company, which has certain advantages as well. So yeah, so I would recommend looking into a program, contacting NewCo, just seeing if they can offer you something. And then, trying to do a lot of research into every different aspect before you start. That's really, really valuable.
Yeah, and just to add on, I did the Impulse as well when I came here. Okay. The year after you, I think I've done it. Oh, the one after you. And I'm part of MESIS. But for people that don't work in sustainability or social, like I'm a CIS, I'm a SIS. Mm-hmm. But for those that are not, there is still a lot, because NewCo Impulse is for sustainable businesses, but mm-hmm. they also have the same type of programs for non-sustainable businesses. So okay. I think it's a very good point, trying to find someone, something that can help you rather than just jump in and then having to retrofit a lot of things or just giving up because you didn't mm-hmm. test your idea. I love what we did with Impulse when, you know, I'm like, I'm just going to help women. Say, okay, but how? You know, like really challenges to think how you're going to make this sustainable. And it's definitely finding someone, and can be in different shape and forms, even if people, because we are in Luxembourg and people might listen to us from other parts of the world, but it's, mm-hmm. there's still always, usually there are always programs catered for startups you can find. And also, another thing is important, you mentioned MESIS, is the networking, like find people that, you know, like incubators or places where you can find people that are sharing the same journey. Because I think mm-hmm. that is one thing we haven't touched upon, but being an entrepreneur can also be a very lonely journey. There are times, you know, where you have to make all the decisions and, you mm-hmm. know, it can be a bit daunting. Mm-hmm. So finding people that are in the same, you know, stage, or they've been there, and they, you know, is I think is very valuable as well.
I actually also was a member of COBIS, which is a cooperative in Esch. It's also for businesses with a positive impact. But there it was also very nice to be part of this small community of entrepreneurs that are all launching something, completely different activities, but all with similar challenges, you know, communication and this and this. So you could ask each other questions and also just cross promote. I mean, every new person you meet, you know, it helps your network, and networking is so important. It's something that I didn't really think about in the past. Knowing other people and who are also entrepreneurs, even if they have a totally different activity, it's so valuable. You know, if it's just for moral support or even to help meet somebody else, it's really great.
And also to challenge you a little bit, like I have a program, my company, you know, the brand has a program for startups. Mm-hmm. And I just launched, I have several programs, but I recently launched one for groups. Instead of doing one-to-one, I take groups of entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And what I saw and what I was hoping for, and it really happened, is that they challenge each other, but mm-hmm. positively, not like, so, what do you mean by that? Oh, because they come from different backgrounds and they work in different fields, you get that perspective, that fresh eyes, because when you look at your project, you know it inside out. It makes perfect sense for you. But actually having someone that think differently, I found it was very beneficial. They told me they found it very beneficial as well. So it's...
And being open to that feedback and thinking, not just saying, oh, well, that's their opinion, but it's wrong. Okay, if they look at the website and they don't actually see what you're doing, you need to change the website.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to always take everything on board, but definitely you need to at least ask the question why they cannot see it. What can I do better so that they can see it? But would you recommend it to become an entrepreneur? Yes or not?
It depends on you. It depends on, do you have an idea that you are really passionate about, that you want to work on every day, and that you want to take somewhere? If the answer is yes, then yes, you should go for it. If you are really, you know, fine with having a regular salary and having fewer worries, then it's good to stay in a regular job.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been fantastic to have you with us. And I hope we managed to inspire a few people that are considering doing, taking a big step and become entrepreneurs. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please support us by liking it, by subscribing to our channel, and by sharing with your friends. It might seem such a small thing, but actually it will help us a lot.
And stop.